May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There is no more profound relationship in this life than the relationship between a mother and her child. Today, we are delighted to be able to witness that relationship in baby Alexander and with his mother, Misa. It's so lovely that you are here today. You illustrate for us just how precious that relationship is. We all begin life in relationship with the mother who bore us, and normally that person is the one who then nurtures us and the one through whom we come to know ourselves as a person who is separate and then is able to relate to other people. We grow up learning about relationships and relatedness in all its joys and all its difficulties. We grow up seeking other people to relate to, and we use the patterns which we have learned from our first moments onwards to engage creatively with other people, to make them our friends, our lovers, or our enemies. Who are we then as human beings? What is this life, and how do we live it wisely? Are we part of something greater than ourselves? Are we part of eternity? What is the connection, if anything, between our actions or our beliefs and a greater being? People in every time and place have sought answers to life's questions, and they have proposed ways of seeing who we are and relating us to a greater purpose, to a greater being. Humans have taken their experiences of joy and of sadness, their relationships with others, good and bad, and have used them as a framework in which to understand such a greater being, someone or something which we might call God. We seek a relationship with that greater being and with being itself. Christianity's origins are in Judaism, which looked to its first experiences for answers to life's questions. One of its most fundamental texts is the story of Moses encountering God in the burning bush. From the bush came a voice which called him to take on the mission of bringing the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and into the promised land. And when Moses asked whose voice it was who was speaking to him out of the bush, the reply was rather confusing. Simply by asking who was speaking, Moses already assumed a relationship between himself and some other being. Perhaps Moses had wanted the voice to come from a god, from a spiritual being, a deity with a track record already. But the voice was enigmatic. It said, "I am that I am. Say to the children of Israel, I am and will be has sent me to you." How very strange and how very difficult for Moses. This is not a noun, it's not a name. It's more of a process, a reference to being itself, to all being, to existence which is still unfolding. And we have subsequently turned this isness, this being, into a named heavenly person, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord, out of a desire to make sense of the energy which animates the universe and ourselves as part of it. But from the beginning, what we call God has been infinitely more than our projected ideas, far more than the angry, jealous, loving, and righteous deity we might want him to be. So in our thinking about God, whom we know as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit, we need to bear in mind, I think, that there is a lot of our own human projection, a lot of stuff about God which is our fear and our hope based on what our human relationships are like. Just as a baby needs the unconditional love from their mother to be held, to be engaged with, to be talked to be listened to, responded to, so we hope that God's love for us is unconditional too. And just as an infant fears that the mother who has looked away or gone away to another room might never return, and feels abandoned forever, so we fear the judgment of God and consider ourselves at times unworthy of that care. We look to God for the relationship in which we will be fully loved and long for God to be truly interested in us, attentive to us, there for us, in life and even in death. But we are often also fearful that we will be found lacking and that the relationship we long for will turn to judgment. Is God really like that? Or is this just how we want or fear the idea of God to be? The God whom Moses encountered is far more than we can ever conceive of. God is not a being we need to come into relationship with, as some mistakenly say, for God is being itself, and we are already part of that life, in its turbulent wonder, its brilliant light, and its terrifying darkness. In all that we are and all that we do, God already is. To me, our doctrine and theology is a way of seeking to grasp the greatness of eternal being in the midst of our own simple and very human hopes and fears. And nowhere, I think, is the degree to which we exist in and through the God who is being itself more clearly demonstrated than in the two sacraments which we hold dear, in baptism and in the Eucharist. Jesus coming as God the Son tells us that there is nothing good which God withholds from us, and he has made us to share in his life. Our baptism is an act by which we recognize ourselves or are affirmed by those who love us to be in the fullness of that life. And the Eucharist is a celebration of the life which we share with God in its richness, in its extraordinary beauty, in its agony, its destruction, and its recreation. Prophets of old, poets and mystics have given us insight into the vastness of God, whose life we are a part of. The image of the banquet as the life of God has its roots in the Old Testament prophets, and Jesus took up this theme with a twist by speaking provocatively about his own body and blood being a banquet to be feasted upon by his followers, as his life was the human manifestation of that eternal being. The banquet of the Eucharist, which re-echoes the words and actions of Christ in giving us his body and his blood, celebrates God's life in us and ours in God. Part of our human nature struggles to accept this degree of closeness, this relatedness, this profound depth of love. And in the context of the Eucharist, no one has expressed that struggle more beautifully and poignantly in English, I think, than George Herbert in his poem about God, described there as love itself. It will be well known to some of you, but please allow me to read it this morning. Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I, the unkind, ungrateful, ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand, and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, said love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, said love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat. Often we find it hard to understand unconditional love and our place in the heart of God, who is being itself. We struggle to accept that we have a place at God's table, but the places at life's banquet have been laid for us already. God, the source of all being, being itself, has already made us a part of it and invites each of us to sit and to eat, to live and to love. today, Alexander's place in life itself is to be expressed through his baptism. And then we will all sit and eat together at a banquet hosted by love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.